grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen. From the Old Testament lesson for this Sunday, the 19th chapter of the first book of the Kings, the 13th, 14th, and 18th verses. And behold, there came a voice to Elijah and said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He said, "I have been very jealous for the Lord, the God of hosts. For the people of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thy altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away." And the Lord said to him, "Yet I will leave 7,000 in Israel, all the knees that have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him." Today we Americans celebrate Independence Day as the day of our nation's birth, the day on which the 13 English colonies here on the eastern seaboard declared their independence from Great Britain and its king. This day has been kept as a day of remembrance and of thanksgiving for the blessing of freedom. And for all the many blessings God has bestowed on our country as a result of that freedom, not only here at home, but also through this nation to peoples around the world. But like any human enterprise, the history of our nation has been one of lights and shadows, of accomplishment and failure, of so much of which we can be rightly proud, but also of much of which we can only be deeply ashamed. The history of this country has been one of striving to realize the ideals on which this nation was founded. You might even say that the very name of our country, the United States of America, itself expresses this country's yearning to become a more perfect union. And there is also this: as we celebrate Independence Day this year, we are also aware of the sad fact of the growing indifference and even hostility to the gospel of the Savior and to his church. To be sure, that indifference and hostility is most certainly nothing new. Indifference and hostility has in fact marked the history of Christ's church from the very beginning. And though we know that the final victory is certain, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it, the church's journey through history is not only a history of triumphs, but also one of setbacks and defeats and of failure for the time being. Given all these circumstances, the Old Testament reading for this fifth Sunday after Trinity speaks to our condition. Here we find the great prophet Elijah cowering in a cave from the wrath of wicked King Ahab and wicked Queen Jezebel, lamenting that the Lord's people have forsaken his covenant, thrown down his altars, and killed his prophets with the sword. And Elijah then laments, "And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away." I, even I only, am left. How often that lament has entered the minds and has come to the lips of those who are striving faithfully to serve the Lord and to walk in his ways. Now, one of the many evidences of the utter truthfulness of Holy Scripture is the very realistic picture it paints, even of the greatest spokesman of the Lord. And Elijah is one of the greatest. It was, in fact, Moses and Elijah who appeared with our Lord when he was transfigured in glory on the holy mountain. The prophet Moses points forward to the one great prophet, Jesus the Messiah, and Elijah points forward to the Lord Jesus' forerunner, John the Baptist, whose coming the prophet Malachi had foretold, and whom the Lord Jesus himself declared to be the new Elijah that was to come. And yet the Holy Scriptures show us not only the greatness of these men of God, they also show them to be the weak, sinful human beings they in fact were. And so in today's reading, we see the great prophet Elijah cowering in fear, despairing of the people of Israel he preached to, and despairing of his own life. How very human that is, how very much like you and like me. No wonder the explanation in the Catechism for the words of the Lord's Prayer, "And lead us not into temptation," tells us that when we so pray, we are praying that God would guard and keep us so that the devil, the world, and our own sinful nature may not deceive us or mislead us into false belief, despair, and other great shame and vice. And although we are attacked by these things, we pray that we may finally overcome them and win the victory. The merciful Lord didn't leave Elijah in his gloom and despair, but assured him, saying, "Yet I will leave 7,000 in Israel, all the knees that have not bowed to Baal, and every tongue that has not kissed him." And speaking to his disciples, the Lord Jesus says, "Fear not, little flock. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Fear not, little flock. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." It seems that especially in modern times, there is an obsession with great numbers. But both the Holy Scriptures and the history of the church show that down through the ages, God has often accomplished his purpose through what have appeared to be hopeless minorities. In the days of Elijah, the overwhelming majority of the people of Israel had become idolaters, worshiping the Canaanite fertility god Baal. But the Lord had nevertheless preserved 7,000 faithful, and the Lord has continued to do that very thing to this very day. For the Lord Jesus didn't say, "Where 2 or 3 million are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them." No, he said, "Where 2 or 3 are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them." Christ's promise is that he will always have his faithful people, the sheep and lambs of his flock, down through all the ages, also in these gray and latter days. His promise is as sure as his glorious resurrection. The story is told that during the time of the atheist regime in Russia, a spokesman for that cruel ideology was haranguing a crowd with its claims. When he'd ended his harangue, he invited the crowd to respond. And for a moment or two, there was dead silence. But then someone in the crowd shouted, "Christ is risen." And the crowd responded, "He is risen indeed." Dr. Luther said, "It is not we who are able to maintain the church, nor could those before us, nor will those who come after us be able to do so. It is only he who says, 'Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world,' Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, who is and who was and who is to come. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen."